You may please have your seat in God's presence. You can welcome someone as you sit down. Tell the person, I'm happy to see you. You are here again. It's a good thing to see you. And today is the word. And why is that? Therefore, joy is doing what? Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see our faces. And it's a privilege and an honor to stand before us again. I always count it a privilege to share the word of God with us or bring the counsel of God to us. Hallelujah. But today is a beautiful day. Thank God for the weather as well. Don't worry, if you add A1 in geography, don't be too perplexed. You know, just in between two streets, we didn't see the hazy weather. And just driving 1 minute, we saw hazy weather in one street. Not two regions, just one Ogunusi, Fanoike Street in Magodo there. Just from number 50-something to number 40-something. No haze, but from 40-something to maybe two. They left one. There's haze, then one did not have. Yeah, don't worry, if you were so good in geography, particularly you study meteorology. I think that's what they call it. Yeah. The people that help us to know when it will rain and when it will not rain, you know, don't be too perplexed. I can imagine those guys at their offices now. It will be looking as if they don't know how to do it. But yeah, because all the predictions are probably everywhere. Hallelujah. But we really thank God, you know. Particularly, if some of you cannot afford to be buying maybe petrol every day, just pray for rain. So the rain will just fall on its own accord. Yeah, because I remember there was one particular rain. I think they were saying, maybe it was a minister of God said the heat is too much. Maybe it was Hallelujah Challenge or Don't See Oyeko, I don't know. Or maybe Daddy Chio, I don't know. But that day, rain fell. So it's because some people were tired of putting on their gen, maybe over the night. And then they just prayed that see rain. Just for, because even with the gen, the heat was still there. But we thank God, right? Yes. You know this heat that you are trying to push away. Some people are praying for the heat in Quebec. In Quebec, Canada. Some people are, they're saying, God, can you just slam us with heat? You know? I could imagine if it was easy to export and import snow and heat. We'll just do a bilateral trade. Say, please give us heat and we'll give you snow. But it's not easy. I don't know, maybe innovation will get to that point. Yeah, a lot of companies will get into that business. Particularly us in this part of the world. We want to sell our heat. It's too much. Glory to God. So this morning, I want us to continue from a conversation we had on Wednesday, I believe, looking at Faithful Steward. I actually believe we started this last week, Sunday, first service, when we looked at remaining blessed or staying blessed. And the last point that was mentioned that we need to employ in our lives to stay blessed or remain blessed is stewardship. And then Wednesday, we zoomed into stewardship and then we looked at faithful stewards. Faithful steward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you still remember the major 3 points we mentioned on Wednesday? Don't worry, there's not much time. Let me just go on. But I guess some of us still remember some. And Father, we thank you. We are ready to be blessed. And we trust that your word is opened unto us again today. Bless us, O God. We draw from the well of salvation with joy in our hearts and with gratitude, knowing that we will be doers of this word. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. So on Wednesday, we looked at Matthew chapter 24, where we looked at what God expects of us as stewards and as people that he has blessed. You know, we said on Sunday, first service, that there is no one here that has no blessing. There is no one here that God has not blessed. Whether you've acknowledged it or not, there is no one. The gift of God to us, they are numerous. But every one of us would know that God has blessed us with his blessing. Hallelujah. Do you agree with me that God has blessed you with his blessings? Yeah. I am a witness, and I myself am a partaker of God's blessing. Amen. Are we there? Matthew 25. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately went on a journey. Hallelujah. No, sister, we're 15 and 16. The Lord will want us to look at some things here before we look through. We are looking at the parable of the talent. And here we know that the talent here, we all know, amen, that the talent here is money, because it was a means of exchange at that time, or what you can give to get value, basically. And even in the same scripture, they told us that you can put this kind of talent in a bank and it will naturally get what? Interest. You know, that was what I told the guy with one. We'll get there. So it's money. So you shouldn't have Bible illiteracy that you'll be thinking maybe this is singing talent or dancing talent. I know we always go between, there are only 2 talents we know now, singing and dancing. Do you get? So you can go back to 14. Says there was a man. There was a man who was traveling to a far country. So he was going to go on a journey. And then he called his own servant. So, you know, one thing I want us to quickly pull out of this set of verses, I mean from 14 to 21, is that there's a whole lot of, or the use of own, is there's a whole lot of ownership. Somebody owning something. There's a whole lot of ownership here. And so it says his own servant. So it wasn't random servant. It was his own servants, people that were he could call his own. And then he delivered his own goods. He didn't deliver another person's goods to them. So this man took his goods and gave it to his servant. And there were 3 servants here that he gave his goods. And so everything that we have as children of God is his goods, because we are his children. Hallelujah. So whatsoever we have is not, it didn't start with us. It's not ours. You know, when I was looking at this scripture, the Lord strongly, you know, put like a correction in my heart, which is a lot of us see possibility with ourselves because we are just God's children. And it's just like the way a prince, you know, there's one young son of a billionaire in India. The way the guy spends his father's money, I think recently he did his wedding, and I think they said the artist they brought got paid $6 million. Now, the way he sees possibility in himself is amazing. Now, when I think it was also recent, I finally found out what he does. And I mean, some people could say maybe that's some profitable business. He just has a zoo where elephants are there. I'm like, how can that translate to billions? That cannot easily translate to his father's wealth. His father has a conglomerate of businesses. I'm not sure if they are the ones that own Tata. I'm not sure. Tata Group. But I'm not sure. But his father has his father is wealthy. But the way he spends I don't know how much they've willed to him. And that's why when they say someone is a billionaire, the difference between millions and billions is very far. You know, at times when you say somebody has spent $1 million to buy a watch, you're like, who is it? No. If this is always a billionaire, the difference is very wide. So he might be wearing a watch of $1 million. They paid an artist that they said did not perform well, Abby. Like they said, I think they said did not perform well. They paid that one as cash out. No stress. That's where they say the gift of a man makes way. You don't stress yourself. You just go and do what cannot be done. Collect your money. So as a prince, you can be in presumption that your father's wealth is your father. And it could be, to some extent is right. But you could also feel that you can generate what your father generates. You could just assume that because I am this, I can also generate, I can produce this. And so all that we have is God. Now, as little or as simple as that statement is, it's usually the rise of many and it's usually the fall of many. You know, the day you look at your harvest and you call it your harvest, or the day you look at what you have and you say it's mine, it's not God's, then you begin to remove preservation from that thing. Because when that guy said, my barns are now full, it changed the ownership of everything. So it was his goods. It's his goods you have, not your goods. Everything God has blessed you with is the Lord's. The children you have is the lot. The peace you have, you didn't read Seven Principles of Peace and then you now have peace. That's why Jesus said, my peace I give to you is the lot. Is his peace he gave to you that now became your peace. Because after a while, this is good became their good. So if you don't know how to identify with your origin very well, I mean your source, where you flow from, if you can't label it rightly, I can't guarantee that you would end well. So it is good. It's not our goods. They didn't consider that they would have his goods. They were just his servant. And then because he was going to go on a journey, he considered them worthy to be entrusted with his goods. Now, I like the way there are three words that I really like since we've been looking at this faithful steward. Is rule over, in charge of, and entrusted. You know, on Wednesday, we looked at, in Matthew 24, that the servant was put in charge of his household. Right? Then another, I think it was Amplified, that said in charge of. KJV says, rule over. And we looked at Genesis chapter 1, I think verse 24. And we saw one of the commandment that was given to man. It says, subdue and have dominion. So over all the things that God created, the fish in the sea, the birds of the air, he says, dominate over them, have rule over them. And you will see in so many other places, for example, you will say that a father should have rule over his house, you know. If it would be maybe a bishop or something. The Bible expects that whatsoever is entrusted in our hands or whatsoever is given to us is given on the basis of trust. Whatsoever is given to us, we are to rule over. We are to take charge. Hallelujah. And so that was what he did after he gave them the goods. He delivered it to them. Another version says that delivered, he entrusted it to them. So it wasn't as though he couldn't keep them, but he gave it to them. Okay, yeah, NLT. It says he called together his servants and entrusted his money to them. Now, his money is safe with him. Now, you might be thinking the reason why God has given you that thing is because you are the only one that can keep it. No, that thing is meant to go through a... Let me just say, it's meant to go through an exchange, which we'll see later. Verse 15, let's move on with NKJV. And so he gave 1, 5, 2, and 1, right? But you will see here also that he gave to them according to their what? Own ability. Now, there's a small context here. Context. Now, it is good, but yet we are saying it is our own ability. But this ability is not an ability that started with you. So let me give her, for example, the guy that got 5, he got 5 because of his own ability. That's what the Bible says. The one that got 2, he got it because of his what? His own ability. Now that, there's a connection between his goods and their own abilities. Now this ability is sponsored by grace. Now the connection between what God can give you and what you can do is grace. Now, I'll say that again. Now, because the one that had 2, the question is, can we give him 5? Actually, no. If we give him 5, then what we are expecting him to do is above his own ability. The one that was given 5, if he was given 2, that would be below his ability. Can we look for this place where he talked about everyone is given a measure of grace according to the gift of Christ? Bible says he ascended, he descended, he ascended, gave gifts to men. To some he gave what? Apostles, prophets, teachers. It says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think, no, this is not it. Just look for, that's it. Thank you.
It says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So, there's what I, you know when you say I can do all things through Christ, you need to calm down first. So, that's not that one. Now, I always read that place to say, I can do all that God would have me to do. Maybe because there are some things that you can't do. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's more or less me saying that I have the ability to do everything that God would have me do. So this place says that every one of us, we are given grace. We have grace. We have the ability to do according to the measure of Christ's gift. So the guy that was given five, the guy that was given two and one, they all have the ability to do, but what was given to them was based on the grace that has been accorded to them. So the one that was given two shouldn't look at the one that was given one or five. It's to think in the order and in the measure of the grace that is given to you. Hallelujah. So there's a connection between that is good and their own ability. It's grace. So anything that God has bestowed to you or entrusted to you or put in your care or has given you charge or like to rule over it, you have grace to use the ability that God has given to you to trade with it. Actually, that's the word. To make exchange with it. So there is nothing that God has given to you that does not have the capacity to respond to the ability that God has given to you. Now, if you want to run based on your ability without grace, you wouldn't be able to trade accordingly in the order of the gift that God has given to you. Because you could mix it up. You could say, I have ability. And you could forget that what connects you to his goods is grace. You know, just the same way you can say that, oh, I have the right, like if you take this away from me, I can recreate it again. Now, because you are not the creator of the goods, your ability was put there so that it can put to use the things that God gives to you. So, but if you think only about ability, like, for example, I have the ability to sing. Now, that voice was given to you. Now, if they take away the voice, no matter how much you can score song, you can't, you won't sing. So, I'm just using that explanation. So, if you have ability and you don't have five talents, you wouldn't amount to anything. That's what I'm saying. So if you don't acknowledge the grace of God that is extended to you according to the measure of the gift of Christ, your ability will just be your ability. It will just be that you have ability, but you don't have substance. And substance is not in your ability. Substance is what God gives to you that brings your ability to fall. So, for example, if someone says, I can be a caring husband. My dad taught us how to be a caring, and no woman said yes to him. He can't be a caring husband. That's what I'm saying. If God does not give you the goods, your ability is nothing. That's what I'm saying. They say, I can manage money. If God does not give you, it will just know you as someone that can manage, but never managed. So that's, do you understand what I'm trying to say now? Yeah. So the connection between your own ability and his goods, his grace. And that's why God doesn't just use you because you say, I can be used. It's because grace connects you to his resources and finds you useful. The vessel that became the vessel of wood, clay, gold, they didn't, that's their ability. But it's the master that will choose what, he said, this one, let's pour wine here. This one, let's put candle here. So that's the work of grace. So it is grace that looked at them and connected five. So it's like, this is his good. This is the ability. Then God looked at every one of them and bestowed his goods upon them. So you shouldn't think in your ability. So don't go from your ability to receive his goods. Rather, go from grace. It's grace that connects his goods with your ability. You can say, I can pray, but that won't mean that God will put burdens in your heart. If you like, play the song that brings his burden. You know, there's a song that brings his burden. Yeah. It's grace. It's the grace of God. The one that is called an apostle is an apostle by grace. The one that is called a prophet is a prophet by grace. You know, imagine just saying, I can take care of children. It doesn't mean that God will give our kids to you. Is that those that have been able to connect their ability, maybe their gentility, maybe their meekness, to the grace of God, then he will connect them to his goods. So you can see why you are not functioning yet. It's because you are still in ability. This is what I can do. This is what I can do. The reason why they've not signed your joint pure stream is they've not seen grace yet. Yet, No. Yeah, we thank the Lord. You know, when they were singing, I was like, ah, I know in heaven, me and Toby would be one of the choicest singers in heaven. That you people would have really sang on earth that God needs new stock. I was just looking at the instrumentalists. They were, in a way, I feel like I can play all instruments. I feel like. So I always think that it's for heaven. It's not for here. Yeah, because I can't play. I didn't even like G clef. I didn't like it. That was when I dropped out of music. But I love music. So I think God is just keeping me. You know, we are the remnant that God is preserving. So I quickly joined Toby to me so that God can see our meekness. Yeah, I have to take a meek man too that has acknowledged that doesn't have the ability, he has to rely on grace. So what makes your ability useful to God is when it's connected to the grace of God that then connects it to his goods. That's where you will find your usefulness. Hallelujah. Yeah. I really wanted to say that part, because you can stay in your own ability and expect everything to come there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So verse 16. You know, maybe one more thing to mention is that there needs to be a very strong awareness of what God has put in our hands. That there needs to be a very strong awareness. The guy that was given five should be aware that he was given five. He should even be less aware how it was distributed. Like, oh, they gave me five, some two, some one. No. We should be very, very aware. At times, this should lead some of you into prayers. God, what have you put in my care? I'm serious. Like, a lot of people, particularly a lot of God's children, don't know in particular. They know God blesses. Some don't even. Some are still struggling with the fact that, can God bless me? But that's not even where we are. We've dealt with that. Everyone here is blessed. But I'm saying that we need to come up and ask that, God, what have you entrusted to my care? What have you put me in charge of? What have you put me in care of? What have you entrusted to my trust or to my care? What has been entrusted to my account? Open my eyes. Let me see. See, if you don't know what has been entrusted to you, there is no further conversation. Like you can't go in that might. You can't go in that might. Verse 16. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded. Can you say went and traded?
Went and traded.
And made another 5. Verse 17. And likewise, so everyone that God bestows his goods to, they must go. And they must trade. Now, that is who a faithful servant is. Or rather, that is who a wise servant is. You know, like we said on Wednesday, the one that is given charge over the household, if he thinks the job is to eat, you know, because you are in charge of this, oh, bring me that one, bring me that one. Let me mix that one with this one. Put coleslaw on top of it. Now, if you think that's, if you think that's what God has entrusted into your hand, that's how you think it should be used, that is an evil servant. That is an evil servant. He says the faithful servant is a wise servant because he, one, is in charge of the household. Two, he appropriates and distributes what belongs to his fellow servant in the house. Like we said, he's not servants on the street. So every faithful servant will trade. Or a servant that would want to count himself faithful will trade. You will go and trade. You will not go and dig a hole. So he says likewise, meaning everyone that is given the talent should likewise be in that order of going and trading, going and trading. So he says the one that had 2 went in that same stead and he gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1, he went and dug in the ground. So he went, but dug. Think of it like he went and he ate it, like that, the one in 24. He went and dug. Now, that digging here is not the use of that talent. So this digging here is everything that represents misuse. So whether it's eating, so what should not be eating? For example, if God gives you a seed, and you eat it, that's you digging. That's misuse. If God gives you a people and you abuse them, that is you, that you are here. You said, thank you, Jesus, for giving me 15 people in my department. And then you misuse them. You are in this category. He says, the servant went and traded. So you can see it's right to pray that God, the ability to trade with what you've given to me, let it rest upon me. If I need to leave where I am to ensure that what has been bestowed upon me can be traded, let it rest upon me. Trading would also suggest that they are in the position to give or to put to use that which God has put in their hands. It says they went and they traded. So they looked at the 5 and the 2 and said, how can I use this thing to make the life of the next person better? Now, the Bible didn't really teach us how they traded with it. But whatsoever trading would mean for any or and every one of us here, we need to trust God to have the wisdom to put to use. Hallelujah. Amen. So that nothing in your hands will be misused. See, if you don't use it, it's also abuse. If you use it anyhow, and that was why we said on Wednesday, we need to go pray for the grace to appropriate. See, this is the reason why the prosperity of God does not like many people. Like I said, a lot have invested in how to receive these things. But only few. We just took it and we went. Only few are trading with it. Most are eating it. And you wouldn't be wise that way. Because the Lord is coming back. And we would all settle accounts. Let's go to 18. It says, but he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. 19. After a long time. See, don't worry. It's just a matter of time. The Lord of those servants came. You know, this is one thing a lot of people don't like, accountability. How have you used what God has given to you? Because the Lord will come back. Now, I'm not saying the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The person that gave you the goods, he didn't give it to you when he was going from Galilee. So it's not, don't just say, I would have repented before. He is actually coming. And he will settle accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He who also had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went. Can you put just this version in Amplified? There was something Amplified put beside that afraid. He says, I was afraid to lose the talent. So you can see this one, he didn't actually have the intention to, this one did not spend it. This is the one that said, this thing that God has given to me, there are wicked people in the world. Rather than me lose it. You know, it looks like the one that was trying to keep his life is the one that finally what? Lost it. He says, because of that fear. Now, a lot of us would justify this. You know, like the way we grew up now. The way our mom would say, if you know you cannot help me keep my thing. You remember that phrase now? If you know you will misplace this thing, if you know you couldn't trade with it. So we should not be very quick to blame this one guy. Because what he did is sincere. Like, that's the best thought he could have about it, because he didn't want to lose it. You know, at least half is better than none. Or is it half bread? It's better than no bread. So he said, at least let the master come. I will give him what he gave me. But you could see here that when the Bible says, thou art inexcusable, O man. He's saying that, see, there's a connection between the ability you have and the grace that has brought. See, when something comes from God to you, it must not fulfill your own responses. Like, it must not just react to what you think. For example, God blesses some of us, and then you begin to consider yourself less of that blessing. Like, ah, the mutilekere. Like, you bring yourself the goods, the talent, the resource, you bring it to your level. You bring it to what you think. At times, a lot of us bring it to our needs. But Matthew 24 says that he didn't give you that thing because of your own need. He actually gave it to you for it to be traded, for it to be given. You can switch back to NKJV. So you could see here that his fear was that he didn't want to lose it. So that when everybody comes, at least there's 5 plus 5, 2 plus 2, at least there's still 1. It's not 0. But God didn't consider that as righteousness. So don't be what God has not made you. He wanted to just hold the money. But God didn't give him to hold. God rather wanted him to trade with it. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Now, lazy responding to the fact that he actually had the ability to trade. Now, some of us might say, oh, maybe his ability is to keep. No. Because that would even suggest to me that this man doesn't really understand his ability. So when God gives you one, when you say, I can do all things, say it in the order of that which God has extended to you. He says, you lazy servant. See, both wicked and lazy, they are evil. Both wicked and lazy, that's an evil servant. He says, you knew that I reap where I have not sown. See, they can only call you lazy, when you don't do what you are supposed to do that you can do. Now, you can't call me lazy if I can't move an aeroplane with my hand. You can't say I'm lazy. No, but if I have the ability to move an aeroplane with my hand and I'm not moving it, I am lazy. So his ability was also in that portion of go and trade. And here, see, laziness will make you bring up philosophies that are strange. You start coming up, you sow where you don't reap, you start coming up with reasons why you should not walk in the graces that God has given to you. God will say, go and take the nation. You say, God, there's currently lockdown. See, the ones that will trade, and they will trade anyhow they think they can trade. Maybe that's why they didn't really want to tell us how they traded. Because it's not about the how here, but it's about how they were led. Yeah. Can we quickly go to 1 Timothy chapter 6? Well, let's have 1 Peter 4.
from verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift. So that trading for them was the ability to minister what they've received to another. It says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Now, if you have any gift and you are the one that enjoy it best, you know, for example, maybe say, God has given me this gift. I'm enjoying this gift. You know that phrase? God has given me this gift. I'm enjoying this gift. Now, you are not the main benefactor of that gift. It says, as each one has received a gift, minister it. So you can see that the prayer should be, God, as I have received this gift, give me the grace to minister it. Because that's the only thing that will consider you a good steward of the manifold grace of God. There's nothing you've received that should just be with you. This is also talking about how to appropriate. You are saying, God, this thing you've blessed me with, who are the ones this ministration will reach? Verse 11. It says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracle of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. So you can see here that ability is dear, but it was given by God. See, God knows what's inside you. At times, some of us, we always think God does not know. Like, as he was blessing, he forgot his mantle with you. No. You might think that Elisha didn't have anything. And so the mantle mistakenly fell on. God knows the ability he had put. See, the blessings of God do not come on you. Then ability now starts. No. God looks at the ability he has put in you. Bible says here, it's God that has supplied the ability. So don't disconnect the ability from the gift. And this is why you don't minister your gift anyhow. Say, anyhow. No. It's not. You need to go deep in the consecration of what God has given to you. For example, you can't say, I'll just prophesy anyhow. God will take it up. No. If God has given you the gift of prophecy, you don't say, I have the gift. If I use it anyhow, God will not recall it. Yes, but you'll be a useless person. Because God does not disconnect the gift from the man you should be. And you know the beautiful thing? The deeper we go in the consecrations and the demands of the giftings of God over our lives, the better our abilities. Yeah. See, there is a way God will use that your gift if it was in your shoes. But your ability can be as refined as the abilities of Christ. It says that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, or let's do 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Then we look at 1 Timothy at the last scripture. Chapter 4, from verse 1 to 5. Hallelujah.
Amen.
says, let a man consider us, so consider us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. So you can see that faithfulness is not an option of whether we'll do or not do. It says, because we have been made stewards of the mysteries of Christ, we should only consider to be faithful. Verse 3. It says, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself. Yet I am not justified by this, but he who justifies me is the Lord. Verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. So it's like God is saying, Efile, let every man go according. See, that's why now you can't really, you can't say I'm using my gift the way God wants me to use my gift. Don't, just leave me. Leave me. See, I could imagine, even in the heart of the five, the guy with five and guy with two, they will probably think that the guy with one is not doing anything bad. But it says when he comes, we would really see, no one knew that he had such a counsel. That this is a wicked, you are an austere man. You reap where you do not sow. So let's be found faithful. Because we are stewards of the mysteries of God. See, there's nothing that you have with you that does not have all of the essence of God. God doesn't bless us without himself. So if he blesses, if God says, I have blessed you with this, it is a token of God with you. Let's go to the last scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says, let as many bond servants as are under the yoke count their masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men and corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we carry nothing out. And having food and clothing. Now, I'm reading this to let someone know that what you have, you God gave you. We still have your birthday picture. You didn't come with anything. God even ensured that no baby came with beauty. Even that beauty, they developed into beauty. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kind of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through many sorrows.
Friends, what God has given to us is to be appropriated. You know, I said on Wednesday that we should go pray for grace to appropriate. See, don't waste God's resources and not think you wouldn't give account. See, it's a very simple statement. It's not, I'm not threatening us. Don't waste God's resources. What has been entrusted into your care should be traded, should be used accordingly. See, don't be the one that will eat the seeds that God has given. You won't be a sower that way. And forget harvest. I said last week that when we are good stewards, God blesses us. And God increases us, meaning he brings harvest our way. And most importantly, he considers us worthy of more blessing. We look more attractive. He says, come, come, I will make you ruler over many things. You were in charge of these five things. You traded with it. You ministered it to another person. And then you had five back. He says, enjoy the rest, the joy. Come into and enter into the what? The joy of your Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we just say a word of prayer together? Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise, Lord. We thank you for today. Thank you for your counsel, O God. We pray that, is there anyone here that is still in doubt that if God has blessed him or not? I pray that let there be a conviction of God's blessing in your heart. Lord, we pray that, is there anyone, and even for every one of us here, lacking the grace to appropriate, we ask for wisdom, O God. Let no resource or resources that you've entrusted into our care, let nothing or none of them be misused, O God. Lord, we pray for grace. Because even the abilities we have, they were supplied by you. And so we are not without abilities. And so everything you've given to us, we have the ability to hold them. Some of us, God has given us departments in this church, in this ministry, to steward. You have the ability to steward it rightly. I pray, Father, every one of us will be found faithful.
Amen.
None of us would give any type of excuse.
Amen.
None of us will see any kind of impossibilities.
Amen.
The children you've given to some of us, we will not be found failing. We will not fail, we will not falter.
Amen.
The blessings, the prosperity, the health, all the things that you have bestowed upon us, we will trade accordingly with them.
Amen.
We want to hear that word, good and faithful servant. We do not want to make excuses for you. We give you God praise. In Jesus' mighty name, have we prayed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.